Charlene Harris's Sookie Stackhouse novels have sold millions of copies around the world. They're set in the small working-class town of Bontemps, Louisiana, and they center around Sookie, a telepathic waitress at a honky-tonk southern bar called Merlot's. Throughout the books, she has a series of encounters with vampires, werewolves, and a whole bunch of otherworldly types. The Sookie Stackhouse novels are also the basis of the HBO series True Blood, which returns for a sixth season this summer. Anna Paquin stars as Sookie, and in this scene, she's beside herself after spotting her first creature of the night in the undead flesh.
Oh my God! I think Merlot's just got its first vampire.
I think you're right.
Can you believe it? Right here in Bontemps? I've been waiting for this to happen ever since they came out of the coffin 2 years ago.
Came out of the coffin? That sounds awfully similar to came out of the closet, which made us think about gay rights. That same phrase is also used in the Sookie Stackhouse novels to describe what happened when vampires decided to reveal their existence to the world at large. So when Charlene Harris came in to talk about her 12th book in the series, Deadlocked, which comes out in paperback later this month, we asked her if that parallel was intentional and if vampires are a barely veiled metaphor for gay rights.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is. Vampires are a versatile symbol. Sometimes a vampire is just a vampire. But I thought telling a story without preaching, it would be better to use an unreal symbol to make the points I'm trying to make. And really, if you read the books just as a great adventure, that's fine with me.
Bontemps is a blue-collar town, basically, and your heroine, Sookie, is a waitress. She happens to be a telepathic waitress. And
right.
You have said that part of the reason you made her telepathic is, and these are your words, to reflect on the veneer of courtesy that permeates small-town Southern living. Coincidentally, I just spent a week recently in Savannah and Charleston, and as a Northerner, I couldn't help but think, these people are so polite. And there were times I wondered, but is it sincere? Is that part of what this telepathy, where Sookie hears things that people are thinking, is meant to get at?
Yes, it is. Though I'm an advocate of veneer politeness myself. I see nothing wrong with manners helping the world to go more smoothly. But I think that actually knowing what other people really think about you when they're looking at you and interacting with you would be the worst thing ever. We all have petty thoughts, mean thoughts, vindictive thoughts. Thoughts that we would be ashamed to see in print, and to know all the secret pettiness of other people would be a terrible burden.
And in Sookie's case, she's often hearing, for example, what men think about her. She's attractive, she's
yes.
thin, she's blonde, and it's often not pretty what she's hearing men think.
No, it isn't. It's your basic grunt feeling. And I think that is what makes it hard for Sookie to date regular guys. That's why she's so excited to meet a vampire.
Now, she is not helpless or passive. She's not afraid of vampires. In fact, she tends to be boldly, fearlessly fascinated by them. Why
yes.
make her that way instead of more demure and reticent?
I wanted her to be a character that people could relate to. I didn't ever think I would get to write another book about her. I thought this was my one chance to make her a complete person, and that just wasn't the person she was. She's not shy and retiring. She is waiting for her adventure to happen.
When you say you thought you'd never get a chance to write another book about her, do you mean after your very first book?
That's correct. It took my agent 2 years to sell Dead Until Dark, the first Sookie book.
But now you're on book 12.
Now I'm on book 12, yeah.
Without giving too much away for people who don't like spoilers, what can we expect from book 12?
In book 12, there are at least 2 kidnappings, a number of deaths, and very dramatic happenings in the fae and werewolf communities.
Speaking of that, you not only have vampires, but as you say, werewolves,
mm-hmm.
fairies, shapeshifters, witches, telepaths. All of them have their own qualities and rules. One of the producers on Here and Now had said, I wonder if she has trouble keeping them apart and what their various qualities are. And my first reaction was, but she's the author. Of course she knows all their qualities. But maybe that's not true. Is it difficult sometimes to remember who has what power?
No, that's not hard. What's hard is that over the course of the years, I've developed a cast of literally, not thousands, but hundreds, and keeping track of each one of those people and what car they drive and what color their eyes are is just incredible. I actually had to hire somebody to help me.
Really? What is the method for keeping them apart?
She has a complete record of everything.
So you can open a file or pull a card and say, what does the werewolf number 12 drive where look like, say?
Yes, that I've said in the past books. I mean, it's easy to make things up. It's not so easy to remember what you made up five books ago.
In this next book, will there be any more supernatural beings introduced?
No, I'm in the process of winding down rather than accelerating.
And perhaps winding down the series, is that correct?
Yes. Sasha, I began to feel that I had said what I had to say about Sookie and her world, and to feel that it was time to stop while I was ahead. I don't want to drag her down by continuing the series when I feel like the juice has gone out of it for me. So the next book, the 13th book, will be the last book in the series.
Assuming that you have seen some of True Blood, the HBO series based on your series, is there any part of it that you wish they had done differently or think they do particularly well?
I certainly like the spirit of the series. Alan's really stayed true to the spirit of the books, in my opinion.
This is Alan Ball, the producer
Alan Ball,
of the series.
Yes. He has made some differences. I knew he would. The books are all in the first person, and you can't shoot a television series that way. So it's been tremendously entertaining for me to see what he's done with the base material.
Anything you would have changed, or had you been a consultant on it, assuming that you weren't, you would have said, let's not do it that way?
Probably, but he doesn't give me advice on the books, so I don't give him advice on his area of expertise.
Charlene, your books, as we've said, are based in Louisiana. From your drawl, it's clear that you're a Southerner. Tell us what your Southern roots are.
Well, I grew up in Mississippi, in the Mississippi Delta, which is a unique and difficult place to grow up in, I've got to say.
Why?
Well, you know, I'm old. I was around when the big changes happened, and it was a frightening and uncomfortable time for everyone, I think.
Societal changes, civil rights
yes.
changes?
Yeah.
You're how old now, could I ask?
I'm 60.
Okay.
So I was in high school when my high school integrated for the first time ever. And there was a lot of fear and anger present.
You know, we spoke earlier about how you've acknowledged that there is an aspect of your books meant to be gay rights, for example, yet vampire rights subbing for gay rights. But now that I hear that the civil rights movement had such an impact on you growing up, does that also, your witnessing of that, also play into why you chose to write about this?
I'm sure the sum total of the experiences in my life are ever present in my writing. So, yes, I'm sure there's an element of that.
Charlene, you mentioned that it took, what, 2 years to even sell your first book?
Oh, it got turned down over and over and over.
Now they're a phenom in some reading circles. They inspired an HBO series. What does it feel like to have been someone who faced rejection for a long time and now have experienced 180-degree difference?
Neener, neener, neener.
What does that mean?
That means ha, ha, ha. No, there has to be an element of that. You know, when you get rejected, no matter how much you know it isn't personal, it feels personal.
Sure.
You know, it's your baby that gets rejected.
But now your baby is loved by many.
Yes, in 30 languages.
Charlene Harris is the author of the Sookie Stackhouse series. Charlene, thank you very much.
Thank you. I've had a good time.
I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I want to do bad things with you.
We spoke with Charlene Harris last April. Deadlocked comes out in paperback later this month. The final book in the series, Dead Ever After, is due in May. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Please join us again here and now.
When you came in, the air went out. And all those shadows there filled up with doubt.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.